Hello and welcome back to InfraDig, the podcast series run by IJ Global, Infrastructure Journal. Today we're taking a break from energy, which has dominated the series of late, which is kind of inevitable as everything in the infrastructure world seems to be centered on energy security these days. But today we're turning our attention to toll roads and some recent research that suggests the sector is sending out misleading messages about asset value and performance. Now, that won't be music to the ears of the organizations that own toll roads, but having read through this research, clearly a light needs to be shone into this murky corner where you might think about calling foul play. All of a sudden, I'm thinking about traffic estimations for toll road financing and the almighty mess that has been wrought on a number of assets where analysis was, shall we say, enthusiastic. But I'm getting ahead of myself, as I always do. Let me make my introductions. Me, I'm Angus Leslie-Melville, Editorial Director of IJ Global, Infrastructure Journal, and I have with me two guests, one an old friend and the other a new friend. Let me start with the one I've known for the best part of a couple of decades, and that is Robert Bain. Now, where do I start with Rob and how he fits into the infrastructure world? Well, if you've ever looked at traffic analysis for toll roads, then you're likely looking at a piece of work that his experience has influenced in some way, shape, or form. Rob started off as a toll road traffic and revenue consultant for Steer Davis Glebe. Nowadays, it's just Steer. Worked on transport PPPs in the Americas, spent some time with Standard & Poor's, and then 14 years ago, he set up his own consultancy, RB Consult. Robert Bain Consult. My goodness, Rob, how did you think of that name? He specializes in road and rail and provides commercial due diligence services to many of the world's leading infrastructure investors. Now, with Rob, we have Sylvain Sénéchal, who partnered with Rob at RB Consult in 2019. Sylvain started off in toll road investment analysis on the transport research team at Brookfield Infrastructure Partners. He has prepared more than 80 traffic and revenue studies across 15 countries, and he's been involved in the full spectrum of transactions from equity financing, concession, rebalancing, and arbitrations. Rob and Sylvain, welcome to InfraDig.
Thanks, Angus.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Lovely to have you both. Tell me, now, did I miss out anything in my brief run through your careers?
Yeah, a couple of quick things, Angus, just for your information. So I set up by myself about 12 years ago, having left S&P, and now there's four of us here. So you've got two of us, obviously, on the podcast today, myself and Sylvain. But we also have another two guys based in Ottawa. I'm obviously based in London. The other three guys are based in Canada. As you mentioned, we come from strong financial services backgrounds, which distinguishes us from most people who are in this sort of traffic consulting space. And we worked for about 13 of the top 20 infrastructure investors these days. So that's sovereign wealth funds, pension funds, alternative asset managers, etc. The other aspect of our business is we perform expert witnesses services in litigation and arbitration cases. So we're constantly in court, not for the bad reasons, but for the right reasons, where we're suing traffic consultants for dodgy forecasts. And we're currently retained in a massive lawsuit in Sydney in that regard.
Ah, and you have the good grace to be a Scotsman.
Absolutely.
Okay, today's podcast is going to focus on this rather interesting research you've just published. Now, I have read it, but for the listener's sake, can you please run us through your findings? Keep it brief, please, and bring them up to speed on your thesis, which, if I read it right, is that key performance metrics have been used ill-advisedly when assessing toll roads. That's quite a gauntlet to throw down. Please, Rob and Sylvain, explain your thinking.
Certainly. I mean, the key performance metric in the toll road sector is cents per mile. How much does an asset use, and what's the unit cost of using the asset, and how does that benchmark against against others, for example. And we see this regularly reported in consultants' reports, but it's also picked up in the mainstream media. For example, we see stories about the top most expensive toll roads in the world, the five most expensive toll roads in the United States, and they all rely on this metric, cents per mile. And that's caused us a number of issues over the years because we don't think, essentially, cents per mile is being used as a metric or an indicator of value. And we think it's a flawed metric in that regard. After all, cents per mile, it looks at the supply side of the equation. And by that, Angus, I mean it takes two physical attributes, the length of an asset and the price, divides one by the other and comes up with the unit cost. But that isn't how consumers respond. Consumers don't respond to the length of a facility. They respond to time savings. So that's the time saving of using a toll, road, bridge or tunnel compared to the alternative route, which they evaluate in the context of the price point. So we've been critically aware for some time that actually, if you want to talk about value, if you want to measure value, if you want to communicate value in the toll road space, it's much better to be talking about time savings or cents per minute saved rather than cents per mile. Mm-hmm. And that's basically was the start of, or the motivation, well, not quite the motivation, we'll come on to that in a second, but essentially that led to the piece of research which we wrote up, and you've had a look at the research paper, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about some of our findings later on. But that's essentially the backstory.
So what we're talking about here essentially is, let's use the one from my personal experience. Now, I use the M6 toll road when I'm driving up to see family in Scotland. And let's say it's about £6 and what is it, 18 miles or whatever. I honestly can't remember how long the actual section was that's tolled. So that's how many pence in this case rather than cents per mile you're paying as a consumer, as the road user.
That's correct. And you'll see that picked up in the normal broadsheets, the regular press, and it's touted as being an expensive facility, which indeed it does look like on a pence per mile basis. But as we said earlier, that's not what the consumer is looking for, nor what the value that consumers extract from facilities. What we have to understand is how much time does it save? And you and I know, Angus, that the free road, the M6 going through Birmingham, can be an absolute car park at times.
Oh, Lord.
So I think that's a perfect example of why looking at time savings rather than cents per mile shines a better light, a more informative light on the performance of a toll facility.
Okay, let's take it back to roots here. What led you to the place where you started looking into this research? Was there a toll road to Damascus moment? Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, it's possibly one of your worst jokes, and I would suggest going forward that you stick to your day job, Angus. But to answer your question, there was a bit of a Damascus moment, and we became very frustrated recently when we were reading press reports in the United States, which talked about Pennsylvania Turnpike being the most expensive toll road in the world. And the way they had calculated it is they looked at the cost of using the whole pike. Well, Pennsylvania Turnpike is massive. It runs for miles and miles and miles. And actually, and this is the critical point, very, very few, if any, users ever use it for end-to-end travel. You know, people are using it for short sections when they nip onto the toll road. They benefit from the time saving and then they leave to go to their destination. So it was frustration with what we're seeing in the press, combined with the fact that what we read, and we regularly see these cents per mile comparisons in consultants' reports. We're just frustrated that this these cents per mile comparisons are always shown in the context of project value and quite often in terms of talking up the value. And we were aware that this was a very poor metric when it comes to value. It's a price metric. It's not a value metric.
Okay. So the benchmarking indicator, cents per mile, this has been used forever in the toll road sector. Why should people consider doing something different now?
Well, because it doesn't do what it says on the tin. It's as simple as that. as we said earlier, people talk about value and then all of a sudden introduce the cents per mile metric, whereas the value is in time savings. The other thing, Angus, and this is very important, these metrics are commonly shown in comparison charts, bar charts, with the asset of interest always shown towards the middle or the bottom end of the cost spectrum. So there's a sort of feel-good message or a bit of a promotional aspect going on here.
The cynicism of it all.
Well, I'll leave your listeners to decide about that. But when readers look at these comparisons of maybe 10 or 15 different projects, we really wonder if they actually know what they're looking at, because without deep industry knowledge, you've no idea what these facilities are. So we pulled together about 20 or 25 of them from consultants' reports and started looking at the selection of benchmarking comparisons. Mm-hmm. And frankly, Angus, it was all over the place. People were comparing roads with bridges. People were comparing, you know, privately financed operations with state-run operations. People were comparing high-volume commuter routes with radio or beltway facilities in regional cities in the United States. And people were comparing very short facilities, say under 5 miles, with entire systems over 500 miles, which, of course, the cents per mile metric completely masks. Mm. So, you know, these things appear in consultants' reports, but because the message is good in a promotional sense, i.e. This looks like a good value project, the comparison charts get carried forward to equity research reports. They get carried forward into slide decks for investors, pitch books, internal presentations for investment boards or credit committees, and bond disclosure documents. So they're in the public domain. So a far broader audience is looking at these comparisons than simply, you know, the normal people would be looking at technical reports from consultants.
And you're saying it's a load of hooey, but it's going a long way up, or maybe actually down, the feeding chain.
Absolutely, to a very, very broad and diverse audience at the end of the day.
Okay.
I mean, let me put it like this for your listeners, Angus. Cents per mile focuses on supply. As we said, it reflects two physical attributes of a toll road, the length and the price. And this is frankly like benchmarking restaurant cuisine by simply comparing kitchen floor space. It tells you nothing about the utility derived by the consumer.
Not what it tastes like.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks for all that. It's all making sense to me. Now, can you please tell me about the research you conducted to test your ideas? Silva, I think you're jumping in on this.
Yeah, happy to jump in here. So the goal here was to do a study that could be replicated, so that it needed to be based on publicly available information. So our start point here was a list of all the toll facilities in the US published by the FHWA. So that being a very long list, what we did, we narrowed it down to bridges and tunnels only, and also the ones that were tolling cars. So the ones that were only tolling trucks, we also put away for now. And then the next criteria is, since we're comparing to in terms of time saved, so these facilities needed to have a reasonable toll-free alternative. It couldn't be a monopoly situation or a situation where all the bridges are tolled. So at the end of the day, we still had a pretty big sample size of 68 facilities.
Right.
And so the next step here, once we had determined which facilities we wanted to compare, we decided on an origin destination. And sometimes this is presented as being quite complicated, but in reality, looking at what should be the core market tends to be what's the most advantageous origin destination for a facility. So our start point was simply taking what would be one side of the bridge to the other. As long as there was a community that would actually be there, you know, was it reasonable that people would be starting their trips from either side? And then we used Google Maps API for finding essentially the travel time. Right. And as you possibly know, there's the option of searching with and with the best route and then the best route without tolls.
Yes.
And using the API, we run it for a typical workday in the future for every 15 minutes interval. And so we get all these data points, a wide range of time savings throughout the day for each one of these facilities. And so, to turn that into, go ahead.
Rob was saying that you're using publicly available information. So this is actually information that you can strip out of Google.
Correct.
That's amazing.
And that's one of the nice things today. There's a lot more information like that that's available. And even Google makes it available to not just to go on their website and manually search. You can connect through an API, essentially using Excel, and automate all of this. So it's actually quite accessible. And so once we had all of these data points, what we did is we tried to turn every facility into one metric, which would be the cents per minute saved. And to do that, we selected essentially the seventh best hour in the day in terms of time savings for each facility. The reason we chose that one is typically on roads, that means that half of the users would have had better time savings, half would have had worse. So we saw that as being the median time savings. And we were able to rank all the facilities on this metric.
It's amazing. And the results were?
The main result is that it's a complete different ranking than if you were to rank them by cost or cost per mile.
Yes, and what's clearly a rather dumb system that was in place that has been carried forward and just given a nod by so many people who've never actually thought about it. And Rob,
yeah, I think
we thought about it.
I think it's worth going back to something Sylvain said earlier, and that is we run this on 15-minute segments. So we're looking at the time travel time on the toll road, and we're comparing the travel time on the best toll-free alternative. And even if we stop there, Angus, there's quite a bit of value in that analysis because the hourly profile of time savings across the day indicates to an operator what the potential might be for introducing time-of-day pricing, for example. And we're now moving in the transportation sector to an era where we're seeing much more sophisticated use of pricing, largely because the industry has moved towards electronic toll collection. So it's very much more possible for operators to look at peak and off-peak pricing differentials, for example, just at its simplest. The point I'm trying to make here is that you don't have to wait till the end of the research to get some good stuff out of it. Actually, doing the research in itself is very insightful. And, you know, Sylvain and I have been investment analysts, and we know that quite often the reality for investment analysts looking at toll facilities is they've got to do quite a lot with very little information, and sometimes with no information at all, depending on the nature of the transaction. This is why, as Sylvain said, we focused on publicly available data that people could replicate. So anybody can replicate as part of their own due diligence exactly what we've done here. And, for example, sense check some of the results that consultants are coming up with, or just get a better understanding of where the value in this asset actually lies.
You're not digging yourself out of business, are you? I mean, if this is freely available information, come on, Rob, you want people to go to you.
I've never been shy about sharing information. I'm an educator, as you know. I'm a honorary professor at UCL. And in the academic world, we've two animals. We've people that share information and we've people that guard it very closely. I'm an information sharer. And, you know, throughout my career, I've spent 35 years in the transportation industry. It has only ever been to my benefit to share information with people. So we've no issues with showing people what we do. In fact, we're entirely married to the whole concept of transparent research, which is why indeed we publish our research in places that people can pick out for free.
Yeah, good stuff. I'll be renaming you Bluetooth. Okay, so there we have it. For now, you've looked at US toll bridges and tunnels. Can the same techniques now be applied to toll roads in general?
Absolutely. So this is actually the time save is actually what's already being used by all the traffic modelers for the project they look at. The issue here is it seems, I think people have the impression it would be very time consuming to do it for peer comparisons to compare toll roads amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. And part of that is that there's a tendency to always look at toll road systems based on the grouping they're in. Mm-hmm. So, for Rob mentioned Pennsylvania Turnpike. They want to come up with one metric for the Pennsylvania Turnpike. But in reality, toll roads need to be broken down within their segments. And then it becomes a very similar analysis, because each toll plaza, each segment of a toll road will actually bring a different value. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see in a lot of projects, not, toll roads that contain 10 toll plazas, each segment mm-hmm. is not equal. Mm-hmm. And really, once you break it down by segment and by toll plaza, the analysis ends up being very, very similar, since toll plazas are located in very strategic positions where it's not very simple to avoid them. Mm-hmm. They'll often be across a creek. They'll often have a bridge component to them. Yeah. So once you've broken it down, it's the exact same analysis. It's just the drawback is just then you don't have a one metric, one size fits all for a system. Mm-hmm. But really, you shouldn't be looking at the Pennsylvania Turnpike and trying to compare it to the Chicago Skyway anyway.
Yeah, right. Indeed. And that's why they build toll roads in the first place, isn't it? It's a more efficient route, and that's a need. And part of your definition or your criteria was that you wanted to go for something where there was a free alternative route. I mean, that's classic project finance to my mind. If you're building a toll road, there should always be an alternative windy route that takes you closer to Birmingham, which is a lovely place, by the way, because I don't want any more hate mail from the people of Birmingham. That's Birmingham, UK. it makes perfect sense to me.
Yep, and there's nothing wrong with Birmingham, Alabama either, Angus, just for your information.
I've never been there, but I hear good things.
Look, it's very simple. The hypothesis we set out to test is simply this. If price is a proxy for value, then the ranking of projects by cents per mile should be identical or near identical to the ranking of projects by cents per minute saved. That's what we set out to test. Mm-hmm. We tested that, as Sylvain has mentioned, using 63 facilities, toll tunnels and toll bridges in the US. And at the end of the day, we found that the rankings were entirely different. So what does this mean? It simply means that price cannot be used and should not be used as a proxy for value. As a value indicator, cents per mile is at best flawed, and at worst, it's misleading. Now, remember at the intro, we said that we act as expert witnesses in arbitration and litigation cases, so we're constantly working with lawyers. And Angus, lawyers are very, very interested in professional practice that is misleading. So I would caution everybody to take great care about using a cents per mile metric and making inferences or expressing opinions about value from that metric.
Ooh, there's a very thinly veiled threat from you. Okay, Sylvain, over to you now. Can you give us a snapshot for the future?
So one of the directions we've been forced to go in over over the COVID period is that we couldn't get any information directly from the roads. We couldn't perform surveys. Some of the toll plazas are now no longer even there because we've moved to all electronic. And so it's making getting data directly from the ground a bit tougher. And so we've moved to working with a lot of the data providers for either GPS or cell phones. And instead of just taking what they give us from their offering, we've been testing a lot of the data they give us. And that's really an area where it's improving quickly, but it's still a mixed bag in terms of the results we've had when actually testing the data being provided to us to analyze these toll roads. And so I think there's still a lot of work to be done in that area, and it will be changing the industry going forward quite a bit as it becomes more and more reliable.
So toll roads are just getting an awful lot smarter, aren't they? The way they operate, the way they charge, with metrics like this, it's got to be good for business.
Absolutely. And importantly, it's consumer orientated. You know, so toll roads have moved from, you know, just taking money from drivers to having consumers, to having customers. And this whole customer ethos now runs through the whole of the operation, which is, you know, it's a significant shift. But just going back to what Sylvain was saying, you know, we've worked a lot with the big data aggregators. So these are people pulling together, you know, GPS data or cell phone data, etc. But we never take the data without checking it. And what we found when checking the data is quite often the data ends earlier than we imagined and the algorithms start sooner than we imagined. Okay. And these algorithms aren't always as intelligent as is required. So we continue to work with the data aggregators. There's a great potential there for the future. But at the moment, we would certainly never take data without being able to double check or independently verify its accuracy. And in part, this comes back from the fact that we, you know, we are in court defending our opinions, you know. So if we went to court at the moment without having independently validated GPS or cell phone data, we would be open to quite a lot of criticism.
Criticism with the price attached to it. Chaps, this has been really interesting. I've thoroughly enjoyed hearing about this very interesting research you've conducted. Bob and Sylvain, thank you very much for taking time to join us on InfraDig and running us through your research. Thank you, chaps.
Thank you very much, Angus.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. Great having you here. And now for the listener, as always, you're encouraged to like, share, rate, tell your family about the podcast or whatever else everybody tells you to do. But I leave you now with the sincere hope that you found this to be anything but InfraDig.